You're recording.
This is a time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Savard, Dr. Benjamin Savard, sorry, in case number 2249. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Savard, please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney if present.
State your name.
Benjamin Savard.
And David Sol, appearing as Dr. Savard's attorney.
Great, thank you. Dr. Savard, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you'd like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to the matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be asked to, you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, if you can please give a brief summary of this case.
This is case 2249. On October 8th, 2021, Minnie, an almost two-year-old female Havanese, was presented to the respondent's premise for boarding until October 14th, 2021. The dog reportedly had one incident of diarrhea and one incident of vomiting during the stay, but remained energetic and responsive. On October 11th, 2021, the dog was found deceased in her kennel. A necropsy was performed and was suggestive of acute septicemia / endotoxemia.
All right, thank you. Dr. Savard, at this time I would like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right. Dr. Savard, we would like now give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
As you have just heard, this was a boarding situation where the complainant's dog, Minnie, sadly passed away at Range Repet Resort. The investigative committee correctly concluded that Range Repet Resort is a separate and distinct facility from the medical center where I work as a veterinarian, and recommended that the complaint be dismissed with no violation. Following the committee's April 4th dismissal recommendation, I understand one or more of you went to the Range Repet Resort website and saw certain pages on the website that caused you to question how separate the boarding facility was from the medical center, and therefore moved this case to this informal interview. Since the case was moved to this interview, Mr. Stoll obtained copies of the board's file, including the four pages from the website that are in your materials. Please be advised, those four pages are recent additions to the website, and none of them were on the website at the time of boarding in October 2021. In October of 2021, the facilities were operated independently. There were no representations on the web about connected care and one team for your pets. The website was changed in March of 2022. When there was a change in ownership. At the time of this boarding, the pet resort and pet resort services were performed by the shift supervisors and staff of the pet resort with no direct involvement by the medical center staff. The medical center staff's duties were confined to their patients and appointments scheduled, with the exception of occasional vaccinations with owner authorization on intake of daycare and pet resort animals and emergency situations recognized by the pet resort. Pre-authorization was obtained from the owners of Pet Resort clients for emergency treatment by the medical center on entry into the Pet Resort. The medical center team was never notified of any problems with Minnie's boarding. I was never contacted during or after business hours by the Pet Resort staff regarding Minnie's case, and therefore never given the opportunity to examine Minnie, consult with the owners, or provide instruction to the Pet Resort or direct care for Minnie. Since the facilities are now under a single corporate ownership, the new Pet Resort shift manager is much more proactive in working with the new general manager and notifying the doctors regarding medical concerns and issues in the Pet Resort, both during and after business hours when staff are present on site. And that is why the website was changed. In sum, Following the changes in ownership, there is now a more connected relationship, and the boarding facility promotes and provides veterinary care as part of the boarding services. At the time of the incident, veterinarians such as myself working at the medical center did not walk through the boarding facility and were not engaged in providing veterinary care as a part of the board at Raintree. Finally, I want to again remind you that I was never informed by the boarding staff that there was a medical condition that required my attention. I was not alerted that there was anything of concern about this dog until after she had passed. At the time, I contacted the complainant to advise her of the dog's passing, and I encouraged her to get a necropsy, which concluded that the dog passed due to an acute septicemia. In reviewing the board after the fact, I found that during the 3 days the dog had been boarded, she was energetic, appeared normal, according to the pet resort staff, except for a single incident of diarrhea and a single incident of vomiting, neither of which were suggestive of a medical emergency. I hope this information has been helpful in understanding these web pages and this incident. And the web pages, again, are not reflective of the relationship between the boarding facility and the veterinary practice at the time of this incident. I'm now available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Who's the lead? Okay, so Dr. James, if you have any questions, we'll start with you.
A couple questions. It does, thank you for the statement and clarity around the timing of when events happened. Going back to when this actually happened, so the October 2021 time period, can you clarify for me the relationship regarding practices, not so much whether you walk through the boarding facility every day, but how the boarding facility was run? Like, if a dog had an episode of vomiting, did the medical team have any say in what actions were taken because of that clinical sign?
With owner authorization, yes. So, for instance, say we had an episode of vomiting and the pet resort was concerned enough that they contacted the owner, and if the owner gave authorization for evaluation and treatment, then absolutely we would then become involved.
Okay, so take a step backwards. Mm-hmm. Who would be responsible for training the boarding staff on when they should alert the medical team that there's a problem?
That was the board shift leads and the boarding manager.
And did they do that under partnership with the medical team at Raintree? Okay. Do the boarding facility and the medical center have the same entrance to the
building? Same front office, yes. Same lobby.
And is the front desk looks the same, where they go up and check in or whatever?
There's four different stations, yes.
Okay. And when you say you don't walk through the boarding facility, is it a completely separate area of the facility? Or would you ever have medical patients that are back in there mixed in with some of the boarding patients?
No, we have a separate hospital area with enclosures for, you know, surgery cases, monitoring cases, pre and post surgery. The boarding facility is for overnight stays and for daycare.
So medical would have no reason to walk back into the boarding facility?
Correct, other than to obtain, say, a daycare animal that needed vaccination that we had pre-authorization to give from the owners. We would then go find that animal in order to perform those services.
And it sounds like ownership recently changed, but at the time, who was the actual owner? Was it privately owned?
Yes.
Is it a veterinarian?
No.
So as part of the practices at that time, there was never set protocols for medical to go over and just do rounds or anything like that of the boarding patients. And to your knowledge, were boarding clients aware that this was a completely separate facility? Or did they, you know, like when you go to board your dog, a lot of times people are like, oh, I want to go somewhere where there's a veterinarian on site. Is that what you would expect the public would have thought, that there's a veterinarian on site and is going to be available if my pet needs something?
I would assume so.
I don't have any additional questions.
So I just had a couple of piggyback questions, kind of clarify, because they were run separately as two different boarding and then the hospital, correct? At that time?
Yes.
Okay. So were they separate business entities?
Yes.
So different LLCs, different tax ID numbers?
Yes.
So when they were checked out, because you said there's four computers that are kind of sharing there?
Right.
Is there a specific area for the hospital and a specific area for the resort? Or are they all just kind of a conglomerate and everything
is
checked
out? It was really just whoever was available front desk person-wise, correct.
So if they're two different businesses, how are those employees tracked differently if one's working for this business and that business?
It was based on the payrolls assigned to the businesses.
So you could have a employee that's being paid by the pet resort checking out hospital patients if they were available for that?
Correct.
Which is a different business?
Correct.
Okay. Seems to be intermingling with stuff there.
I have a question. The x-rays that were taken post-mortem, services for veterinary care were only provided upon owner approval. So were you given owner approval to provide, to pursue post-mortem?
I was not. This dog had a history of foreign body ingestions, so I wanted to see if there was something in there that was obvious, so that way I could discuss that with the owner.
Okay, and so the resort team alerted you to the patient being deceased?
Correct.
And is there a reason why, if the pet was deceased and the two businesses are separate entity?
A reason why what?
Is there a reason, did they say the reason why they informed you when they're completely separate entities? And there was no owner approval?
Why they contacted me?
Yes.
I mean, simply to inform me that they had a dog pass away. It was about, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning.
I think what your question is if it was a completely separate entity, why would they be
called? Why would they call you? Right. That's what I'm confused by. Why would they call you if they're completely separate entities?
Maybe because they viewed it as an emergency. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions. What were the names of each of these separate entities on the date of this occurrence in October of 2021?
So the medical center entity is RPR Medical, LLC.
RPR Medical.
And the pet resort entity is the Savard Corporation.
Okay, so that was the boarding facility was Savard Corporation?
Correct.
And are you the owner?
Of the boarding facility?
Of Savard Corporation?
No, ma'am.
It's just a coincidence in the naming?
The owners are Homer and Julie Savard.
Yes. Are you related to them?
Yes.
Okay. And were standardly for the boarding facility was an authorization for care signed prior to or as part of intake at boarding?
Meaning for emergency authorization?
Correct.
There was a line item on the pre-entry form for authorization for emergency treatments.
Okay. And if they were separate entities, did it identify who that emergency treatment would be provided by?
I don't believe it specifically says on the form, no.
Okay. Who owns RPR Medical?
I do.
Okay. So these two separate entities are, in essence, owned by the same family?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are you the responsible vet as the owner?
Yes.
And were you at the time?
Yes.
Anybody else have any additional questions right now? Okay. All right, thank you. We'll please have you step back, and we will now hear from the complainant. And you are on the phone, Ms. Ost. Ost,
yes.
Is that correct?
Ost, yes,
okay.
Correct.
So if you can please introduce yourself for the record.
Yes, I'm Amy Ost, and I was the owner of Minnie.
Okay. And I'm going to swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay. And are you the complainant in this case?
I am.
Okay. And we have read all the materials you provided, so you can now address the board and provide any other information.
I would like to say, as a client, I was under the impression that the pet resort and the medical center were the same entity as you've spoken about. They shared a front desk. When I came to drop Minnie off for daycare versus came for shots or an exam, I wasn't treated differently. It was like one and the same to me as a customer client. And it's one of the main reasons why I chose to board my dog there, because I was under the impression that she was in a veterinarian's care when she was there, other than just, you know, Dogtopia or some other boarding facility that didn't have a veterinarian's office, like, in the same facility. So I thought that she was under extra good care since she went there since she was an 8-week-old puppy for her very first shot. And I was under the impression that it was a lot of the same staff on both sides caring for her. So that's why I always felt comfortable bringing her there, because I knew that they had all of her medical history and knew her from daycare and just knew her personality and would maybe be on more of a high alert than they were if something's starting to go wrong. It was just completely shocking to me to bring a healthy dog, and a couple of days later, you know, the day after my little brother's wedding, to get a phone call, and the phone call was not from Dr. Savard. I had to demand to talk to him on the phone. It was just completely shocking to get a phone call that my not even 2-year-old puppy was found deceased in her cage.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do any board members have questions for Ms. Ost?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Jane Solomon speaking. I'm a public member of the board. When you received a bill from when your dog was treated by the veterinary clinic and when the dog was boarded at the boarding facility, was the letterhead the same or different?
I can look in my email if I saved anything. Hopefully I did. I deleted a lot of emails because it was such a traumatic experience that I wanted nothing to do with them ever again. But let's see. This was daycare, and I can forward any of these invoices as evidence if need be, but this says Raintree Pet Resort and Medical Center.
What's the date on that?
This was August. The one that I just dug up in my email was August 23rd, 2021. And this was, this is for x-rays. So August 23rd, 2021. Invoice number 176619 says Raintree Pet Resort and Medical Center at the top, and it says radiograph, 2 views. That was, it is true that my dog had a history of foreign body ingestion, and that was luckily a false alarm that time. I brought her in to get x-rays to make sure that she hadn't gotten into something again. Now I have an invoice from September 20th, 2021, invoice number 178850. And this was for group play, just daycare. And to me, the invoices look exactly the same with the same type of letterhead.
Okay, could I ask you to submit those to Victoria Whitmore?
Who should I email them to?
Hold on, I don't know.
Can we do that?
You can certainly have them sent. I don't know that you can consider it today, they haven't been given an opportunity to respond to it, so.
I don't think we need it.
So when you got the call about Minnie, what did they say had happened, and were there any, did they describe any abnormal behavior that led up to them finding her dead in the kennel?
So I first had a missed call and a voicemail that just said, this is urgent, call us back. So I did call back and I spoke with Christine, I believe, the practice manager, and she just told me that she had unfortunate news and that Minnie was found early that morning deceased in her crate. And, you know, I was in obviously complete shock. And I said, what do you mean? What happened? I think at that point, Dr. Savard had already done an x-ray, before they had even contacted me. And then I was kind of surprised at that point that Dr. Savard wasn't the one making a phone call like that. I was under the impression, and I guess I'm incorrect thinking this, but I was under the impression that he was the practice owner and the owner of the daycare, and they were one and the same. And so I thought, as a business owner and as the lead veterinarian at the practice, that if a dog dies, you would be the one to make the phone call. I was surprised that I had to ask to speak to him. Then as I asked more questions, not of Dr. Savard, but of the medical staff, further conversations, they did tell me that she seemed to be behaving fairly normally, but she did have one instance of vomiting and one instance of diarrhea. And I do understand that a lot of dogs, when they're in a boarding environment, they're stressed and they could, maybe they don't call every time there's one instance of vomiting or diarrhea. But knowing Minnie, she never had diarrhea, even when she was sick with foreign body ingestion. So I just, again, I thought that she was safely boarding at her veterinarian's office and that they would notice something like that and give me a call and, at least give me the option to seek examination or treatment. And now it sounds like the vomiting and diarrhea were during the day leading up to her passing away during the night. And it was completely sudden. And the fact that it was a bacterial infection, I also, you can never probably pinpoint where she got the bacterial infection, but she was in group play at their facility, boarding at their facility. I'm under the impression that she could have gotten the bacterial infection there. We didn't bring her anywhere else for boarding. We didn't bring her to dog park. She spent all of her time in our yard, and we don't have another dog. And I was also, I know I'm like rambling on and on, but I was surprised that during the necropsy, she was not tested for lepto. Because I don't know how true any of this is that you read, you know, Google reviews or Yelp reviews, but I do know that at least there was like a reported instance of lepto at that practice before. So that's just another concern of mine. And I don't know why she wasn't tested for that type of infection during the necropsy.
Thank you. I don't have any additional questions.
Anybody else have any additional questions? Okay, thank you very much. We're done with questions for now. Dr. Savard, do you or your legal counsel have any additional questions or remarks that you'd like to ask?
I've got closing remarks. This case first came before you on May 18th when you reviewed the investigative committee's dismissal recommendation, and Dr. James was the lead board member and said that she was inclined to agree with the investigative committee until she reviewed the website, which created certain questions, in particular the websites that talk about connected care. As you learned today, those web pages that would reference connected care between the medical center and the boarding facility are recent additions to the website that were not present at the time of this boarding in October of last year, when the facilities were operated under different ownership and had a different, more independent relationship. Having addressed that concern that caused this case to be moved to an informal, we ask that you accept the investigative committee's recommendation and dismiss this case with no violation. Also, even if you're still unclear as to the relationship between the medical center and the resort, the fact remains that Dr. Savard was never advised by kennel staff that there was a medical issue for Minnie. Dr. Savard was not even aware that Minnie was being boarded at the facility, and it wasn't until the day that she was found passed away in her kennel that he was made aware that there was a medical condition that related to the dog. Subsequent to that, that began his involvement. Doctor did the appropriate thing. He recommended and oversaw an independent necropsy, which concluded that Minnie most likely died of an acute bacterial blood poisoning, which is a condition she most likely contracted prior to the boarding, since the kennel had no other cases of this at the facility during this boarding or any time close to it. This was the only case like this that they had. So this was a tragic boarding for the owner, and we extend our sympathies to her. But again, there's no evidence that Dr. Savard violated any statute or regulation, and we believe that this complaint should be dismissed. Also, regrettably, I guess the owner was called to be alerted about this condition, and he left a voicemail message. There's really no easy way to handling this. But when she called back, Dr. Savard was unavailable to take her call because he was in surgery, and that's why she spoke to someone else other than him. So I didn't want you to think that he was.
Yeah, he didn't leave the voicemail either. So.
In any event, when she called, he was in surgery, and so someone else took the call. Do you have anything else you wish to add?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any additional questions from board members?
Mr. Chairman, I just still have a question and concern about prior to the separation of the two, the billing that was received listed both pet resort and medical center, say together on the same invoice. So I do think that is.
Well, I had a question around that too.
Okay, so, I think it should be submitted.
Yeah, but any questions here? I did have a question just around billing real quick. So you'd mentioned like if a dog is boarding and needs a vaccine, you guys will go do that, right? So when that dog checks out at the end of the that process, is it one invoice that says boarding and a DHP vaccine all in the same bill, or are they billed separately by the pet resort and then separately by the hospital in two different invoices?
It's a single invoice.
Okay. Is the credit card run once and everything's just kind of deposited to one single account?
I believe so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was my questions. Anybody else have any other questions? Okay. Thank you. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. So we will start with Dr. Jane because you are the lead.
So my initial concern here was the affiliation of these two businesses. And regardless of what's on the website, that's what made me think about it. But regardless of that, we have multiple things that lead us to believe this is one business. It would lead the general public to believe this is one business. And in situations like that we've had like that in the past, the veterinarians, whether it be it right or wrong, are actually kind of responsible for what goes on in the boarding facility. And so that's where I got into the line of questioning on, you know, what are the policies, how are they trained, you know, things like that, because it's your responsibility to make sure the staff is trained. If that's part of the same hospital, and I believe it was at the time, and I believe it is now. What I would say, though, sorry, is during this dog had one episode of diarrhea and one episode of vomiting. I'm not sure I would even say this would constitute alerting the veterinary practice that there was a problem, right? Because dogs do that in boarding. I mean, they have diarrhea. Sometimes their whole stay, they'll have diarrhea. So had the symptoms, and I don't know, maybe there was more than one, but had the symptoms have been more concerning as far as there was a lot, you know, showing that this dog needed medical attention and nothing was done about it, I'd say we'd have a serious case here. Because I believe those two entities are tied. And as a responsible veterinarian in that medical practice, you're on the hook. That's the way I would interpret this. That being said, I don't actually see that in this case. I don't know that one episode of vomiting and one episode of diarrhea would alert any boarding staff to say, oh my gosh, we have a problem here that needs medical attention. Which brings us to the fact that I don't know that we can say there's a violation. One, he was never informed, but two, I don't even think he should have been informed.
And that's, again, get out of my head, but that's exactly what I'm thinking is, were these two separate entities on paper? Maybe. In reality, absolutely not. I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an IRS agent, but my guess is that if any kind of audit was done on that, you're going to see commingling of finances. I mean, if we have one bill going through and now you're separating into two separate accounts after the fact while you already have the money, you've destroyed an LLC. You've destroyed the entire purpose of an LLC or any kind of a corporation. I mean, the reason you have that is to protect yourself, to protect your liabilities. And the easiest way of destroying that is you take your business card and you go to the store and you start buying personal items with it. Same thing with intermingling finances and intermingling business with two different businesses is, I think you'd be hard-pressed saying that that's two separate entities. Now, that being said, I mean, you can get into the whole inspection, should that boarding facility have been inspected as a hospital facility, all that kind of stuff. That kind of brings up some questions there, because it was run as part of the hospital, or the hospital is run as part of the boarding facility. But either way, the hospital is the default organization, so that all an area should have been inspected. Now, that being said, was that a problem here? I don't think so. I think this was an unfortunate incident, but from a legal and liability standpoint, that sounds like a whole mess. So I don't think there's any statute violations, but yeah, that's not two separate entities in my opinion. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
And I would say if something were to happen tomorrow, I would see these as one business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, So
the only question I would have around that is, like I said, was this an unlicensed boarding portion of a hospital? I don't know about that, and I don't know where
Where do you go with that? Yeah.
And is that worth a door opening?
Yeah.
Especially for a business that really doesn't exist anymore in that regard.
I agree totally. In terms of the legality of it, I don't think matters. Mm-hmm. This was one operation. Mm-hmm. When the public perceives it that way, for our purposes,
Robert, it's not even just perceiving. You're getting one invoice.
One invoice.
I mean, that's pretty
billing.
Straightforward. We've had other cases that are even more separate than this, and they were still responsible for the boarding.
Right.
So, like,
right.
This one is pretty clear to me.
On the records, it says Raintree Pet Resort and Medical Center, or it says Raintree Medical Center and Pet Resort. It actually changes back and forth if you pay attention to that. As far as the complaint goes, though, and maybe one of the veterinarians can help with this, is there's a necropsy report. And I couldn't really get the feeling if somebody went over that with her and what the pathologist found and what that could potentially mean for this pet, just because the description, for all intents and purposes, is this pet was amazingly great and then deceased. And so, like, is there any way, at least from any of the doctors, able to, like, explain a little bit of that to the complainant as far as, like, what the septicemia could, you know, I mean, we're alive and then we're not, and no signs other than one episode of vomiting and one episode of diarrhea. I mean, that's why this complaint started.
I feel like that should be explained by the person who ran the necropsy.
Right, that's what
yeah, because like I said, if it's septicemia, should there have been blood cultures done even after the fact to see what's growing, to see what, I mean, so with the report I have now, I can't give an actual definitive answer. I mean, I'm comfortable with saying, okay, this is what happened in this family. What bacteria caused it? Was it leptospirosis? Was it something else? Was some E. coli infection or whatever? That was just kind of a happenstance thing. Did it happen acutely within the last few hours, 8-12 hours, which can happen? Or has this been smoldering for a while? Because even acute stuff can still, or stuff that's been going on for a couple weeks can still look acute histologically in some cases. So I can't say where we got the infection from, and I can't fault the facility for those kinds of things. I mean, this is unfortunately, I think, just a bad outcome. It's just an unfortunate outcome that any of us can have. But yeah, from these test results itself, I can't say specifically what caused it, but I'm comfortable saying that, yeah, septicemia, endotoxemia probably was the cause of the death here. And then, I mean, yeah, the congestion, hemorrhage, was there some clotting going on, some kind of DIC that happened? Yes. Who knows? But I wouldn't be surprised if there was septicemia. So again, I don't think there's anything at fault with the medicine, or well, I shouldn't say medicine, because at that point they were thinking it was a boarding facility. But I mean, this is just an unfortunate, sad outcome, and I don't see violations, but I definitely see this was not a separate entity. Yeah, but I said, so if there's anything here, it's only centered around an uninspected facility, but is that really something that anybody wants to go down that road? Is it worth going down that road? Especially when it's already been sold to another entity, so it doesn't even exist anymore.
That's a good point, though. If the owner's primary complaint was around communication about the results of the necropsy, that's more of a complaint on the medical center and the doctor that submitted the necropsy. I took this more as a boarding complaint about whether the dog was monitored appropriately, whether the dog got it there or not, that kind of thing, which is a little bit different. But so that's why on this one, I'd be leaning towards no violations, but I would be leaning towards that based on this dog didn't really show a lot of signs that would have warranted different action.
Yeah.
Not based on the fact that I don't believe these two entities are completely tied and that the veterinarian isn't responsible for what goes on there. And I'd be taking a really close look at that.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones.
To answer your question, Nikki, anything that breaks down that barrier in the gut between the gut, the bacteria in the gut, getting into the bloodstream, we call it septicemia. Another possibility is a penetrating wound from the outside. We don't seem to have any evidence there. So it can happen fast.
Yeah.
Once that breaks down and that bacteria gets into the blood, that can happen in a matter of hours.
Yeah, and it can go the opposite way too. I mean, you look at a parvo case. I mean, you look at them, you're like, oh, they're dying, and in 2 hours they're bouncing around the kennel going crazy, and it's like, what the heck? it's crazy how fast bacteria can get really bad and not, like I said, so I can't, and I don't think it's really pertinent on where an infection comes from, because I mean, we all have bacteria, obviously. We look at your skin under a microscope, you throw up. So I mean, I don't think there's any fault here that led to an infection. Like I said, I think that's just unfortunate. So I also don't see the violation of that. So it's just, do we do anything else? But we've had a lot of discussion here, so I don't know if anybody has any motions they'd like to make.
I've got one more quick question of staff. Is the testimony that was provided here today consistent with the premise permits and licenses that are currently on file?
I don't have that information. Okay. So they don't have that.
I would like to ask the directed staff take a look at that.
Because the only thing, Victoria, that would have changed is when you're filling out your premise application, you'd say that your hospital does boarding.
Yeah.
As one of the services provided.
You would, I don't know that in their case they would have, because his perception is that that's not part of his business, so they probably would not have checked that.
Mm-hmm.
And as an inspector is not going to go in and question that.
Gotcha.
necessarily.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if it initially started off like that, but I think somewhere along the line that deliberation was lost, completely lost. Yes. So like I said, so in the initial inspection, you might not even have thought of that because again, it was totally separate. And then, oh, it's easier to do it this way, and it's even then, just like all of us, it snowballs and you get out of hand. Now again, that's neither here nor there for the most part in regards to the case and the patient dying. But like I said, is there anything else? But yeah, I don't know, I think we need to start going forward and stuff.
So I'll make a motion in the case of 2249 that we find no violations of our practice actor rules.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
How do we protect the public from misleading information?
Hopefully this veterinarian understands now that cases that happen are part of the medical, unless they're going to separate.
Yeah.
Completely
separate area,
but
renting
it's now
a different
even
area
more
stuff,
connected care, and I think we would be. I mean, Victoria, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've had cases where we've held veterinarians, responsible veterinarians, accountable for what happened in the boarding facility.
I can think of one specifically in East Mesa.
And I don't know that most veterinarians that are responsible vets know that, but I think that that's, regardless of whether you ever knew about that pet or touched that pet or whatever, I think that that's just how we've done them.
Yes.
And so I would hope that that has become clear in the conversation.
And if this patient would have died under different circumstances, it might have been a whole different outcome.
Yes.
There might have been violations at that point.
Yes.
This was an unfortunate accident that uncovered other unfortunate stuff that thankfully you didn't get in trouble for.
Yes. I just want to make sure that I protect the public from being misled.
Yeah. So like I said, so. But when you look at the meat of this and the violation, like I said, it's an unfortunate accident or unfortunate issue that the patient passed away through nobody's fault.
Correct.
Yeah.
I understand.
So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? That was for dismissal. So we can do a voice vote on that then. All right, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the motion passes. 2249 is dismissed.
Mr. Chairman, we're about 1:30. This process